Music provided by Armstrong. Visit armstrongofficial.com to hear more badass music. Welcome to the TriCast Gaming Podcast.
Greetings and welcome everyone to episode number 38 of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. I am your host, Grimlock, a.k.a. Philip Keeney, and I am joined tonight by Rogue Fox, Mike Martinez.
I'm back.
And Firstborn, Adam Garcia.
What's up, guys?
What's up? Mike is back. His lazy freeloading ass is here again tonight after leaving us. Hey, no, I'm just giving you a hard time. I'm glad you are back, Mike. We always miss having you on the show.
I bet you do. I'm the glue that holds this shit together, dude.
It's more that I just like looking at your sexy Mexican face in front of me.
Well, I do what I can.
All right. Well, everything okay after last week? It's all, all back to normal. Don't have to get up at the butt crack of dawn anymore.
No, I had like two appointments that morning and I just needed rest because it had been a long day. And sometimes our podcast can run late and I had to be up at a certain time to get to my appointment because I had to be at work and not be late for work. So
understood. It was
just, I had to like, oh, it was just a shitty Friday. Like I've never dreaded a Friday morning ever until last Friday.
That's rough. Yeah. And we actually did go long last week. Listeners probably don't know this, but we had some major technical difficulties.
Big time.
That were not fun. So, you probably missed out for a good reason last week.
Yeah, I think I made the right call.
Spidey sense went off, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, how about your week this week? Everything going okay?
I was telling you earlier, I had a job interview on Monday. It was a phone interview. I think it went great. It could have gone bad, but I'm going to keep a positive attitude. and then I won't know about that job until like next week if I get a second interview, but it's a huge upgrade. But the rest of the week has been pretty shitty because of my injury at work. And now they're talking about not wanting to pay me workman's comp hours for missing work for going to an appointment for my injury at work.
Well,
it's a whole thing. It's a whole can of worms. I'm not going to try to open.
Sounds like some people just trying to save money as always.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I had to cancel two appointments, which I'm fine with because I mean, it's getting better, and all they're going to do is look at it like, yeah, it's getting better. Come back and see us next week. I'm like, I don't need to. Like, if it gets worse, I'll come back.
Yeah.
I'm not going to come back if it's, you know what I mean, getting better.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it like a week and go from there. I'm not going to go to my, because I had a specialist appointment and my regular like workman's comp doctor's appointment. I'm like, I don't need all this. I'm fine. I just need to let it rest.
Yeah. Ice it, keep going.
Yep. Yeah, I can walk on it and all that. It's just the swelling hasn't gone down, but it's going down slowly.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that is good. Yeah, I hurt my knee in high school and pretty bad, and it's better, but like it'll flare up from time to time. It just seems like it's never going to go away. You know, whatever that is, 14, 15 years ago.
Knee injuries don't. Like I hurt my other knee in football. I had a 200-pound boy. Just like I was like planted, like blocking, and he fell like onto the side of my knee going into my other knee. Mm. I went straight down and cried like a baby.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, but it's like I can still kind of feel it if like the weather changes or if it gets cold, like it gets sore. Same with my ankles.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. They just never seem to go away, those joint injuries. But we'll be sending you positive vibes on the job interview, though. Hopefully
if I can get that job, oh my god!
No more excuses on what video games you're buying then. If you
exactly
get that job.
Right.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Well, what about you, Adam? How's your week been?
It's been interesting. I've had my son. Pretty much just me and him at the house all week, so I haven't been able to do much of anything. But last night was extremely interesting because he's been sick, and when I woke up, I was paralyzed. Like, I literally could not move. And like, I sleep on my side, right? And so as soon as I tried to move, I felt this like severe, like stabbing pain in my chest.
Oh.
And long story short, I thought it was a heart attack. Stab you. No, I thought it was a heart attack at first. And I was like, no, cause I'm not feeling any of the other symptoms. And mm-hmm. so like, I tried to move, and eventually like I was able to relax my arms enough to where I could lay down flat on my back. And mm-hmm. even then like it still hurt. And so eventually I fell back asleep, woke up, it hurt in my chest still, but I started feeling the pain in my back. And I was like, I bet you it's my back. Mm-hmm. So I went to a chiropractor, and he's like, oh, you have a couple of ribs that are out of place. And I'm like, oh, just that. Oh, cool.
What are you doing to your ribs, dude?
I don't know. Apparently I'm fighting MMA fighters in my sleep.
So you got to stop doing the amateur wrestling on Saturday nights.
Right? So I guess I'm just that hyped for WrestleMania that I'm just
throwing yourself in the table.
I know. But yeah, he had me lay on my stomach, and he's like, I'm going to do all this stuff first, and then I'm going to put this stuff back in place. And I promise you it's going to hurt. So we're going to do that last. So I'm like, okay. And when he did the first one, which was the one that was popped out the most, oh my God.
Yeah.
I heard an echo in the room when it popped. I was like, couldn't breathe for a second. He's like, you okay? And I was like, yeah. And then he popped the other one in place, which didn't hurt that bad. And eventually I was able to stand up and, you know, move around a little bit without any pain. But that pain in my chest is still there, because I guess the upper part of my back is still out.
Right.
So I've had a fun week. Yeah. So
that sounds like fun.
That sounds tough, man.
Yeah.
Getting old ain't for sissies, right?
Yeah, I guess not.
Getting old is earned. What about you, Philip? What have you done?
Well, we went down to my parents' house this past weekend for Easter.
I got a funny story, but keep going.
I wrenched on a race car a little bit last Saturday. Our next race is not this weekend, but next weekend. We're going up to Hallett, Oklahoma, which is like halfway between Stillwater and Tulsa. So that'll be fun. We've never been up there, never run at that track before.
That's Sooner Country, dude. Where are your tech at?
Yeah. I'm going to have to, represent, right? So, mm-hmm. So we're just kind of getting ready for that. And then, let's see, Tuesday, I went and got my first COVID stabby stab. So, vaccine shot number one, got the Pfizer thing. So it was fine for me. My arm was pretty dang sore. Like couldn't hardly lift it past like 45 degrees for, I don't know, like, but by that night, like by the time I went to bed, and then like in the morning for the first few hours in the morning, but by about 24 to 26 hours after I'd gotten the shot, it was almost gone away. And this today, I don't feel anything anymore. My arm's totally back to normal. So it wasn't
right on.
Nice. Too bad. I did have a really bad headache that night, but I was getting it before I went for my appointment to get the shot. So I don't think it was related. And I really, like, normally when I get these headaches, I take migraine relief. But I was reading that you're not supposed to take like over the counter medicines, like, you know, Motrin and aspirin and ibuprofen and things like that for the first 24 hours, because it could stunt the antibody production. So, I suffered through it, which was not fun, because my migraines can be pretty bad. So, but I made it. It's all good. So, I go back on like, I think April 27th. For the second one, so nice. See how that goes. Just trying to, do my bit, I guess, to help get the country back towards herd immunity and whatnot, and get us back to normal living.
No joke, I'm ready for that shit, man.
Right, 100%.
So going back to Easter, like, Laura and I don't have kids. Like, we're kind of like, we're up here alone. Like, we have my mother-in-law here. And she just, we didn't plan anything. Mainly because we didn't know. So, like, we were like, Laura and I got up on Sunday, let's go get breakfast. And we went to the first place. Oh, this place is closed. We go to local places. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this place is closed. Okay, well, let's go to this. Like, why is everyone closed? So, we drove, like, to, like, four different restaurants. Then we went by Safeway, just a local grocery store here. and like, oh shit, today's Easter.
Yeah. That happened to me that night. Like we drove back from Waco that evening and mm-hmm. I was just going to order wings from Wingstop for dinner mm-hmm. and they were closed for Easter. So, yeah. We ended up getting wings like the next night, I think it was, or something. I don't know. The girls love Wingstop. We get the barbecue ones. And the girls are so funny. They'll be like, "It's so hot," and they'll just keep eating. And they like get like several cut glasses of milk while they're eating them, but they love them. They'll eat nearly as many wings as me. They love them. So.
There's something about that spicy food, man. Like it hurts, but man, you got to go back to it. It's so good.
So good. Yep. So, but yeah, that's kind of my week. You know, wasn't too crazy. Kind of getting back into the swing of work. I say getting back into the swing. I've kind of just been full on into it, but normally there's like a few big things going on. And then like what's crazy about my day is just everybody that kind of needs something throughout it. But this week has been like a long list of things that have got to get done. So like I actually had, normally I don't have to make like a to-do list or whatever for work, but I've had to have one and keep one up because I can't hardly remember all the crap I'm supposed to push through this week. So it's been fun, but oh well, it's not too bad. I can't complain too much, you know, especially since this week we got a date for the Loki show. We know that's coming up now on June 11th. So that's super cool. Really. So we know when Loki's coming out and we know when the Black Widow movie's coming out. Mm-hmm. So we just gotta, I've been still holding off on Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I'm kind of set now in this whole, I'll wait till the whole show is out and then I'll just boom, go for it all in one weekend.
Right on.
Yeah.
It's moving a little slow. I mean, it's still entertaining. It's just moving a little slow.
Yeah.
A little bit. I haven't heard a whole lot. Like, I haven't seen a whole lot in Twitter about it. So, it's kind of strange because when WandaVision was rolling, I felt like I was seeing stuff about WandaVision every week. But
right.
And, I mean, I wasn't reading it because I didn't want to spoil anything, but I was seeing stuff across my Twitter feed, like, every week. But with the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I mean, I've seen maybe a couple things across my feed, but that's it. I don't know if that's, like, a good thing or a bad thing.
The main difference I see is WandaVision had a lot more speculation because of the way it was formatted earlier in the show. So like everybody was like theorizing what the hell is going on. Whereas in Winter Soldier, it's like they pretty much give it to you right there. Like there's really nothing to speculate a lot of. I mean, there's a little bit, but there's not a lot to really talk about.
It's basically in your face. What you see is what you get.
Yeah,
I see. So really much more like the superhero movies that we're used to.
Pretty much. Something like that,
I guess there's more storytelling like we've talked about since it's a series. There's more story development, but it's not like mysterious.
Right.
If that makes any sense. That's what makes it so much less interesting compared to WandaVision.
The first few episodes, they're just developing Falcon or Sam and Bucky's characters a little more.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess it just doesn't lend itself to as much speculation as WandaVision, which
there's still a lot of like oh crap moments, but like it's not like crazy.
Gotcha. Yeah,
right on. Well, I'm still looking forward to that. Like I said, once it's kind of all done, and I can kind of go in one weekend and watch it all. And then of course now we know when Loki's coming, and then before Loki, we know that we've got the Bad Batch, the next Star Wars animated show. On May the 4th, which we talked about last week on the show. I guess if we want to talk about Bad Batch for a minute, they had a few episodes kind of dedicated to them with that final season of the Clone Wars. I don't know if you guys watched it. I know we've talked about it on the show. I loved the final season of the Clone Wars, and I felt like the last episode was very somber and poignant and just kind of really sad with how it all ended for Ahsoka and everything. Well, we talked about that a lot on the show already, but so they've kind of already had a spotlight on them, and they were really cool in that, that episode. So I'm interested to see what they do or how they explore the characters, because they're not, I don't think really like good or bad. They're kind of just, They're in between. They're kind of more like bounty hunters, more like scum and villainy Star Wars characters. So I'm interested to see how they play with all of that in the show.
Cool.
But the other kind of movie stuff that I saw this week was that Sony signed a contract with Netflix. So that's for like all Sony movies, but that means like the Uncharted movie and the Ghost of Tsushima movie that we've talked about will be coming to Netflix after they go to movie theaters.
Nice. That's exciting.
Apparently it's kind of a big contract too.
Yeah, it's like Uncharted. That's the one Tom Holland's going to be in, right?
Yeah, Uncharted. Yeah. Right on. That's the one.
That's exciting.
What do you think about that, Adam?
I don't know. I'm still on the fence about that one.
Well, I mean, I can understand being on the fence of the movies, but what do you think about Sony signing a deal with Netflix?
It's kind of like with Xbox doing the Game Pass and signing all these exclusive devs. Like, it just doesn't... It's not doing a whole lot for me. Like, yeah. It's just like an extra avenue, like you said before.
Well, I think it's cool at least that they've signed with a streaming platform so that, you know, we don't have to like, you know, try to find.
Right. One they create their own Sony like movie service.
Right. That'd be super fucking annoying. We don't
need any more. Stop.
Yeah.
So I am at least glad for that reason. Just simply because I already have Netflix and I don't want another damn streaming service.
Yeah, I have Hulu, Netflix, Disney, and now HBO Max.
Yeah. Yeah. My speaking of HBO Max, I was going to send you a screenshot of that code that I've got, Adam, and see if it works. Because now we're within that, you know, few weeks of Mortal Kombat's release. So I was thinking I'd go ahead and sign up and could see about, you know, watching both the Snyder Cut and Mortal Kombat in a couple weeks when it comes out.
Yes, sir.
All right,
I'm ready for Mortal Kombat. That's what I'm most excited about is Mortal Kombat.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw some stuff about it that's supposed to be some of the most gruesome fights yet. Some wild shit on the television.
Bring it on!
People say that all the time. I want to see it to believe it.
Well, I guess we'll find out on April 22nd, I think. 22nd, 23rd, something like that.
One of those.
I think I had it in my head. It was April 22nd forever, but then I saw some you know, promotional material the other day that said the 23rd, and I was like, wait, what? I thought it was the 22nd.
The 23rd.
Wikipedia says it's the 23rd, so
yep.
I guess it's the 23rd.
Wait, it says release date April 16th.
Nobody can figure out when it's coming. I guess we'll find out when we find
it'll
out.
It'll be here when it'll be here.
It'll be here when it'll be here. Well, should we talk about some video games, guys?
Let's do
we
it.
We might as well. I mean, we are a gaming podcast.
We are a gaming podcast, and we do get together each and every week to channel our virtues through the Triforce to provide you all the latest news and general thoughts from the mythical world of video games. We are new still and doing this entirely of our own entertainment simply because we do love them video games. If you like what you hear, please consider leaving us a like and a review on your podcasting app of choice. And if you really enjoy it, please share on social media and the like to your friends. You can find us on TikTok at TriCast Gaming Podcast, all one word, on Twitter and Instagram at TriCast Gaming P1, and on Facebook at TriCast Gaming Podcast, separate words. Yeah, there you go. I guess we should be a little more consistent. Maybe that would help. I don't know. You do what you can, right? Like you get what you can, get. You know. Yeah. I think I tried for TriCast Gaming Podcast on Twitter, but that's too long. So they made it TriCast Gaming P1, which is cool, I guess. I don't know. Player One sounds kind of good, although I don't think they intended it as that. But anyway, you can DM us on Twitter or Facebook with your questions, comments, concerns, thoughts, or ideas, and we'll be happy to read them out on this show. Housekeeping, we should be back this Saturday night with the Saturday Night Live with TriCast Gaming hosts. I was at Easter with my family this weekend, so we weren't on Twitch. We should be back this Saturday, and I think I have a game that we should try. I was reading about this one. It's in Game Pass now.
Mm-hmm.
As of today, Zombie Army 4.
No.
Apparently, it's a pretty cool co-op game.
I'm not playing that.
Why not?
Mainly because you suggested it.
You wouldn't be kidding like that.
I'll check it out.
Yeah. Sounds fun. So, I don't know. It's supposedly a pretty cool co-op shooter thing from the same people behind the Sniper Elite series. So, I don't know. Game Pass, you know, we could try it out for free. See what happens.
Indeed. Is it on PC or do I have to boot up to Xbox?
I thought it was PC as well.
It's PC. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, right on.
Okay.
Perfect. Yeah.
This is like the only reason I haven't suggested Outriders, because Outriders Game Pass is Xbox only.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm installing Zombie Army 4.
All right. Well, there we go. We've made our decision for this Saturday night at 9 p.m. On Twitch. So come check us out there while we try out Zombie Army 4. All right. What are we playing this week? Guys, I'm been lame because, like I said, I went to my parents for Easter.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't had a whole lot of time for video games in the last week. I'm still chasing that Force Awakens Platinum. I'm just a handful of trophies away now. It makes you 100% everything, so it's taken me a little bit. Probably more time than just playing the original base game. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. But it's still, you know, still not bad. Lots of cool different characters. The one thing I did notice that I thought was a really neat touch, I unlocked the B-Wing. And so I picked it to use it in one of the missions. And I noticed that when you boost, the wings close up, it turns on its side. And I thought, you know what? That's a really nice little touch from a Lego Star Wars game, because it's exactly how the B-Wing does that move in the movie. So I really appreciated that, you know? And then when you come out of your boost, the wings open up and it goes vertical again. So I just, I don't know. I really like that touch.
It's the little things.
It is. It is the little things. So yeah, I don't want to linger on Lego Star Wars Force Awakens much more. I've already given my thoughts on this. And then we're back on Rocket League with season 3, but everybody knows how we feel about Rocket League. So I won't linger on that too much yet, other than to say the new car that has the Dominus hitbox. I don't think I've ever really played the Dominus car before, surprisingly. I know that was one of your favorites, Mike, for a while.
Yeah.
And I'm actually really liking it so far. So positive thumbs up for that. You know, so nice. I'm trying something new. And also, so that everybody can laugh at me, I've probably got months worth of time built up in Rocket League at this point. I've played so much of it. I just found out last night that you can create more than 3 presets, because it just shows you preset 1, 2, and 3. So I always just assumed you had 3 presets and that was it. But apparently you can create almost like, what was it, like 50 presets or something? I don't know. Totally possibly news to me. I had no idea. So yeah, everyone can laugh at me.
I still
find new things at on Rocket League. So that's all I got to say for games I'm playing this week.
Cool.
Cool.
All I've done is play Need for Speed Underground on my PS2 emulator because, like I said, I haven't had much time to do much.
Right on, man.
Yeah, poop to poop. Let's just say it that way.
You still having fun with Need for Speed Underground?
Oh, yeah. Like, especially since I got all these upgrades on the PC, the graphics. Oh, my God. They're good.
Buttery good. Smooth.
Buttery. Well, very good. Glad that Need for Speed Underground is still good. What about you, Mike? You're playing some old shit, too.
Yeah, I played... I got Laurel a Switch Lite 2 weeks ago, and she left it here unattended. So I'm like, I'm going to pick it up and buy Sonic 2 for $5. And that's what I did.
Nice.
And I am on the 4th level. I just beat the Casino World. No, not the Casino World. Yeah, Casino World. But I'm going to probably finish that this weekend. Doom 64, I'll probably finish that this weekend as well. I forget like how, like in Doom, like I thought you could like look up and down. No, the gun is coming directly out of your chest and you can only shoot forward.
Yep.
That is it.
Yeah. That's exactly still, how GoldenEye was too.
Yeah.
You just probably don't remember.
Mm-mm. But that's, I mean, it's essentially just a puzzle game. You have to find like those red, blue and yellow cards, you know, and like look for secret rooms while shooting aliens and demons and shit. But yeah, I mean, it's just a puzzle game. It's just, it's fun. Destiny, my usual stuff there with Tyler, just doing weekly stuff. Played Among Us on Sunday with like all my friends, all my friends, all my family and a couple of friends. It's actually pretty fun when you get a full group in there.
The way you said it at first, I thought you said you played a manga, and I was like,
oh, no.
What? You played a manga? What?
I don't do that.
What is this weeb shit that we're doing here now?
No, I'll leave that shit to Tyler.
Yeah, that's all Tyler.
I don't do that. No. But yeah, I played Among Us with some family. It was fun on Easter night. And Rocket League Season 3, and I played a lot later than I usually do last night, mainly because Phil couldn't get any goddamn shots on the goal. I played until 10:30. I normally get off like around 10. No, I wanted to watch Phil get that last shot. I felt like I won the game watching him do it.
Oh,
it took fucking forever.
That's because Tyler gets in there first game and cries like the whole first game about how much he hates shots being a thing. And apparently that's all you need to just suddenly get all the shots.
Yeah. You and I were just completely confident. Oh, we got this in a few games. No.
Yeah.
No, that was not the case at all.
It's rough. It's because it's honestly because he plays so aggressive now and he just doesn't rotate like as frequently as I think you should. Mm-hmm. And so I feel required to stay back a lot because if I don't, then we don't have defense.
Right. No, I had to force myself to stay back. I think we lost a few games because I was playing so conservatively that you could go up and get a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. So, oh well, it's okay. I like the way I play now. Mm-hmm. I'm really good at doing centers and playing defense for the most part, except for making stupid mistakes. But yeah, it doesn't lend itself to a whole lot of shots. So, whatever. Yeah. The only other thing I'll say, Mike, is if you really like Sonic 2, I mean, mm-hmm. I know that's just like a Sega classic game there, but you should totally check out Sonic Mania. It came out a few years ago, but it's like a retro Sonic remake, kind of, basically. Love letter to original Sonic. Some of the levels are even laid out fairly similar to Sonic 1 and 2. But it's really good. Like the only good Sonic game that's come out since like the original Sonic trilogy, basically.
Nice.
So, you should check it out. I don't know how much it is because I tried to go to the Nintendo eShop to see how much it is, but I own it. So it wouldn't tell me how much it is. I think it's like $20 on Amazon, so it can't be too much.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'll check it out.
All right. Anything else on games we're playing this week?
I've been playing a lot of mobile games, like on my phone.
Those don't count.
I know.
I know. That's it. I love how you said bits to me. Like, okay, I'm sorry. Why did I even say that?
Sorry.
That reminds me, I actually bought a phone that's more geared towards gaming on your phone.
Nice. I also got a phone as well, and I got a case for it that I had to order because they don't have these Moto phone cases at Best Buy because everybody gets an iPhone or a Samsung.
Yeah.
But it came on Tuesday. On the way home, I dropped my phone and cracked the screen.
Before you got the case.
Before I get the case. Like the case is on my desk here at home waiting for me to put it on. Got out of the car, phone fell, cracked the screen. So Saturday I get to go get that fixed.
That is devastating.
Yeah,
absolutely devastating.
I can envision Mike being like that girl on Scary Movie at the end of the movie where she's just on her knees screaming, "No!" My car.
Yeah, I can see it too.
I didn't want to pick up the phone. I was like, if I don't look at it, it's not broken. It's Schrodinger's phone. It's broken and not broken at the same time.
It's like that one scientist who said, you know, if you close your eyes, nothing exists. And I was like, what?
Right. What? I close my eyes, pick up my phone, this trip, and like bust my face on the street.
Yeah.
But my eyes are closed.
You just take it into the store and you're like, I don't understand. It just like spontaneously cracked. I don't know what happened. I was just like holding it and like it just shattered in my hand. I don't know what happened. In fact, I'm about to sue the company because like I got cuts on my hand.
Right.
See?
I just was gripping it too hard.
That's funny.
That's what she said.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, on that note, Adam, I guess, was trying to be productive while we were talking and has fixed all the socials. So live update, you can find us everywhere at TriCast Gaming P1. Twitter, well done, Facebook, Adam. Instagram, TikTok, all of them.
My
TriCast
God.
TriCast Gaming P1.
Dude, like, he was talking about, we were talking about video games, and he was updating our socials. Multitasking like a boss.
Like
you're welcome. Typing it out on our notes here while he was doing everything.
Good job, Adam. We appreciate it.
Well done.
All right, let's jump into topic number one. Are we ready, guys?
Let's do this.
All right, topic number one is Outriders, launch success and woes. I brought this up because I thought there was a lot of really interesting stuff happening around this game. I haven't actually tried it myself. I keep meaning to. Like I said, I was away a lot this past week. It's not my fault. I'm sorry, everybody. I will check it out this weekend. But there's been a lot of interesting stuff happening around this game. Number one, we saw at launch that its Steam concurrent count went over 100,000, which is like four times more than Avengers' highest concurrent player count ever was. Okay, and then second, we started seeing that it is one of the most played Xbox games right now. So if you guys recall, I shared an image in our group chat that gave the numbers for the game. So it is currently the number three most played Xbox game in the United States, France, and Brazil, and the number two most played game in Australia and the UK. No, sorry, the number three most in UK as well. So really heavily played game across Xbox and Steam. And when you couple that with, I think we talked about it last week, the Google trends of how no one was really talking about the game, then it drops a demo and it drops that it's coming out to Game Pass day one, and suddenly the Google trends for the game go off the charts. So I guess I just wanted to open up the conversation to you guys. Do you think that it being on Game Pass has had a positive effect for Outriders so far?
Yeah, for sure. But here's the thing. Like, I think like this is just the honeymoon phase. We won't really know exactly how it's doing until like a few weeks from now when it's died, like the hype has died down a little bit. Because I've noticed like whenever a new game comes out like this, like it'll have a huge spike there at the beginning, then it'll kind of like taper off and kind of plateau at where it's going to sit for a while until people get tired of the game. And also another thing to think about is like how many other triple games have were released like the last 2 weeks besides Outriders?
I think that's a great point, Mike. Why don't you expand on that? I mean, there really hasn't been much.
Yeah, I don't think there has. So, I was literally asking. I didn't know. that's what I'm thinking.
Well, if you appeared on the show instead of being a lazy ass, you'd know that there were no games for us to talk about.
Dang. Oh, that's true. That's true. But yeah, like that's just it. Like nothing's been coming out. Like this is the like a AAA game. It's free on Game Pass. I'm not saying Game Pass is not helping. It's definitely getting people to play this game. And hopefully, like, it just, the honeymoon phase is just like, after that's over, it's not going to taper off too much. Because it looks like it's going to be a great game. And if, as long as there are people playing it, they'll keep updating it and, like, putting new stuff out there. And I also kind of like this for Destiny. Because I think Destiny needs a competitor, like, to kind of get new ideas from. So, like, if you think about, like, the Battle Royale games. Whenever Apex came out, in the game when they released, they added a respawn feature in the middle of a game. And now after that happened, is it Fortnite and Warzone have added those as well. So like, I think it's great like to have two games that are somewhat similar to kind of like make each other better. So I think this is good for Destiny as well.
Yeah, that's another great point, and that's why I always say, because I think you take that all the way up to the console level. If you have two great consoles competing, they're going to make each other better. So exactly. I think that's another great point. What do you think, Adam, on this one?
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with what Mike said, because I think Game Pass is not the sole reason, but that's a huge factor of why it's so successful in the beginning. But once people get through the story, you know, How much are they going to stick to the game?
That's retention.
Yeah. Like, especially like if you're a gamer like me, once you're done with the stories, if you're not interested, if there is a multiplayer part,
right?
Like you're done.
Yeah.
And so like it's, that's going to be it. That's going to be the death of it, in my opinion. But
yeah,
not saying this is going to die. But at the same time, it also doesn't have the negative hype that Cyberpunk did. So this is already doing a lot better than that.
Right. I mean, they did have some. They did have a little bit of server issues, but I think they're working on it and maybe have solved a bunch of it. Another thing I want to add is Outriders, like their story, like it hooked when I played the demo, it hooked me like right away the way they told the story. Whereas Destiny, we don't know how that story played out.
Yeah.
But,
very true. But another thing is like, what's the payoff going to be at the end? That's my question. Like for these gamers that are playing this right now, are they going to be satisfied with it or are they going to be left out in the dark wanting more?
I think they're going to be there. It's going to be one of those, it's a looter shooter. So after like they're done with the story, they would all right, let's make this shit harder and get better loots and more guns and better guns and stuff like that. I mean, it's essentially just a looter shooter.
Yeah, but is it? I don't think it's a live game like our games as game as a service.
Game as a service? Yeah, no, yeah. I don't think so either.
So but, I think there is eventually, I guess, you know, an end essentially to it.
Mm-hmm.
Which but is I very think, similar to what Godfall was, as a PS5 launch game.
Because I think I never played that one Tom Clancy game. What is it? It's like Destiny.
It's like Destiny, but it's
yeah, Tom it was the, you and Connor played it.
Oh, The Division?
The Division. And I know, like, because how do you make those harder? Like, because you have to, like, select the difficulty before you beat the game, right? And you load into the world. At that difficulty, like how does that work?
They had enemy levels, and when you went into different areas, there could be harder enemies, and you could go there, and then you'd just get killed, and you'd have to wait till you leveled up, and then you know eventually they had their own version of like strikes and raids and things like that, like Destiny has.
All right, because I don't think Outriders has like raids, but they do have like whenever like from what I saw, you could tier up the world to make it, I believe, to make it harder. That way it's still kind of like, it's not just, you're just mowing things down.
Diablo-esque.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. And you kind of touched on it, Mike, about the server issues. So they definitely had quite a bit of server issues. I think this game just simply did way better than they expected it to at launch.
There was it was just the load is essentially what's going on.
Yeah. So what I did see, though, that they announced this week was that they're going to put out a community appreciation package is what they called it. So the plan, it seems, is to reward all players who played between March 31st and April 11th with one legendary weapon, a level appropriate amount of titanium, and the frustration emote, which I think is really clever.
That's awesome.
I love it. I love it. A nice little poke at themselves with that. But yeah, so if you haven't picked up Outriders yet, you know, get in there and play before April 11th so that you can make sure you get that community appreciation pack.
Indeed.
So I guess the other thing that I wanted to kind of touch on with this, you know, basically you've got a AAA third-party game that's come out day one on Game Pass. I think seeing good positivity around that would be a good thing for the future of Game Pass. So, and that's kind of where I was leading with this is, you know, do we see good positivity around this? Are people talking about Outriders well? Do we think that this has been a success in terms of Game Pass with the launch of Outriders?
I believe so. I mean, I can see it to where like, oh, it's going to come to Game Pass. Might as well just spend $15 and get Game Pass rather than spending $60. And you also get these other games. So it does kind of bring people, some people more to Game Pass. Also, it keeps people on Xbox playing it on Xbox. You like are a great example because you didn't know if you're going to get it on Xbox or PlayStation. But since it's on Game Pass, you're going to stick with Xbox, right? Exactly. So there's no reason for you to get it on Sony or PlayStation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's like $60 on PlayStation 5, so it wouldn't make any sense for me. Exactly. But you know, I mean, you mentioned that there's no other AAA games releasing right now, and that's a fair point. But if you're on Game Pass already, There's a lot to play. I mean, there's a new season of Halo Master Chief Collection that just launched, season 6. You know, season 2 of Sea of Thieves is about to launch. You know, you've got all the Rocket League stuff. You know, their new season just launched. You know, there's just so much out there already, you know, with, you know, the new sports titles that have come to the service, whether it's the NBA game or the FIFA and the Madden games recently, or Star Wars Squadrons. It's got, I mean, there's so much on Game Pass right now to come up and, you know, be the number 3 played game on Xbox right now in the U.S., I think that's still pretty impressive, you know, even if there isn't a whole lot of AAA games releasing right now.
Yeah, no, that is very impressive.
And the final thing I kind of wanted to mention here is I feel like maybe we might be approaching somewhat of an arms race here in terms of the idea of third-party Game Pass launch games. How do I want to say this? Third-party games launching day one on Game Pass versus Sony's approach of trying to secure third-party exclusives to their console. And I'm curious you guys' take on this, because for me, I look at this and I think the Game Pass approach is so much more clever, because instead of the conversation being about, oh, you've taken this game away from other platforms, you're just saying, hey, we're providing this game to our platform holders as part of the subscription service they're already paying for. So instead of it being somewhat of a negatively tinged conversation, because there's always a charge around third-party exclusivity of games, now instead of that negatively tinged conversation, you have purely a pot, because it's still available over on PlayStation, but hey, if you're playing on Xbox, it's free of charge. Yeah. I think this is really cool, and I really hope this is where Microsoft is going. But I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think it's good for Xbox, but like, do we still want exclusives on separate consoles though, right?
I do, but I want first party or at least second party fun. You know, those are
I got you.
Games funded by Sony or Xbox, Microsoft from a second party studio.
Totally like oblivious to the third party language here.
I guess, good. Real quick, I'll just jump in and say, like, if you're curious on that distinction, right? First party is a studio that is owned by Microsoft, Nintendo, or Sony, right?
Right.
They're owned by those companies, and they produce games only for those platforms. Or, you know, in Microsoft's case, they put them on PC as well.
Yeah.
Second party would be a studio that is not owned by one of those entities, but that is funded by one of those entities to build a game exclusively for their platform. A great example of this is the Pokemon Company, right? I don't think they're actually owned, at least I'll have to Google this now. Maybe Adam or Mike can, but as far as I knew, up until very recently, at least, if it changed, the Pokemon Company was not actually owned by Nintendo, but they were in an exclusive relationship with Nintendo to develop the Pokemon games for Nintendo consoles. And then third party would be a studio that is wholly not owned by one of those entities. And if they produced a game and it was exclusive on one of those entities, it was the exclusive rights was bought. It wasn't that the game was funded by Sony or Microsoft. It was just the other company, they funded the development of the game, they developed the game, and they either published it, you know, under a publishing arm to all platforms, or someone came in and bought exclusivity rights. So that would be the distinction between the three tiers.
Right. No, I think third party, like if it's a third party, I think it should be across all consoles. I'm not down for third party exclusives. Now, first party is a totally different story, but yeah, third party games should be all over the place. Should be able to play it on my phone if I want to.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that's, I think, what's so great about this new approach, Adam. I'm curious what you think. If it really is that Microsoft are now, instead of trying to ink third-party exclusive deals, that they're just trying to ink Game Pass launch deals.
I mean, that's a smart business model, if you ask me. They're just trying to get more eyes and more users on their end. But at the same time, you know, it helps the people who are making these games because they're opening themselves up to a larger audience on day one. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
exactly.
It's a win-win for them. It's inconvenience for us because some of us who are like hardcore, it needs to be exclusive to one person or another. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes it less special. But, you know, from a business standpoint, they're just like, we just want more players. We want everyone to have it.
Right. I think like it's as long as Xbox can keep people on their service playing on their service, it's just gonna be better for them. Like it won't, like they don't have to buy it on a different console or just buy it because it's not on Game Pass. Like it's as long as it's on Game Pass, it's the retention that they want. Like more people playing concurrently on Xbox Game Pass, the better.
Yeah, and like I said, I think it just drives a conversation. When these things happen, it's just excitement because it's like, oh, I've already got Game Pass. Like, that's great. Now it's going to be part of my subscription service to go play that. I can try something out that maybe I wasn't going to before. And there's really no in for the other side to come in and complain about it, right? Like, how do you complain about that? Like, oh, it's not fair that you get it as part of your subscription service? I mean, what? Like, nobody's going to say that, right? So, so it allows there to be buzz and hype about these announcements from Microsoft without having to worry about any of the negativity.
Right.
So, and I think, you know, I had laid these out as not consecutive topics, but I think I'll kind of switch order on live on the show here and jump to item number three. And that's that we got another Game Pass announcement of a game launching day one on Game Pass. And get this, this is a megaton, right? Mm-hmm. It is MLB The Show 21. When it launches April 20th, a Sony San Diego first party developed game by a Sony studio is going to launch day and date on Xbox Game Pass. That's part of the service.
I like laughed out loud when you linked that. Like, what is this timeline we're in right now?
Yeah.
I never would have like even guessed. Like I never in my wildest dreams would have thought that we'd be getting a first party like Sony game on Game Pass. Like that was like not in the realm of possibility for me. And then I see this and then they like if you get it on Sony, you still have to pay $70.
$70, yeah. If you want to play this game. I think it's $60 if you're on PS4 still, but $70 if you're on PS5. For a
PS5, yeah.
crazy. Or free on Xbox.
Yeah.
As long as you're with Game Pass.
Yeah.
Free with Game Pass.
Blown away when I saw. Microsoft on social media were not holding back the punches, man. They were like definitely, you know. I follow a lot of people on Twitter that are, you know, video game personalities, you know, and you see like Aaron Greenberg, you know, the social media manager for Microsoft, you know, liking all these tweets from these influencer profiles that were, you know. You know, if you read the content, they were like, they weren't like, fuck you, Sony, but they were definitely like, this is mega on Sony, and Aaron Greenberg's liking them. So that's saying that Microsoft feels that way very much. And so, you know, they were pretty bullish about this. Now, since then, Sony has come out and claimed that it was MLB's decision, that MLB signed the agreement with Xbox, because Major League Baseball is apparently the actual publisher of the game on Xbox. But I kind of don't give a shit. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, you didn't somehow work into your contract that the opposing, you know, your competing game console developer couldn't ink some deal to release it as part of their game. You didn't think to make sure that you stop that from happening. Like, I don't fucking care if it was MLB that made that decision.
Yeah.
You have a first party studio making a game that will launch in Xbox. Period. End of story. It doesn't fucking matter how it happened. That's what's happening. That's funny. I think.
I kind of want to play it now, just because it's coming up. Like, I've never played a baseball game, but now I want to play it just to like feel.
I mean, apparently, special. There's even marketing material in like GameStops and stuff with the Xbox logo and MLB The Show. It's fucking crazy to me, man.
Wow. That's insane. Yeah, that's crazy. I wonder if this is going to happen again. Like, I think this is a rare thing. I don't think it's going to, if it happens again, it'll probably be like, I don't know. It won't happen for a while if it does, because I think Sony's like, shit, we need to stop this shit from happening again. Yeah,
I agree with you. I mean, maybe you might see this happen again in the future with MLB The Show, but it's not like you're going to get Uncharted or something like that.
Yeah.
Over here like this. This is unique because MLB is coming in as the publisher for Xbox, you know, consoles. Yeah. You know, and of course, it's not part of the PC Game Pass. It's only the console Game Pass, but also the cloud Game Pass. So if you want to play MLB The Show on your phone, no thanks to Sony, you could do that. So
Adam, there's a phone that can do that now.
I just think that it doesn't really matter how you slice any of this. This just is a major black eye on Sony. And this really is like the, you know, the Xbox walking up and just punching Sony in the gut. Like, it really doesn't matter how you slice this.
Yeah.
This is a big win. And again, so you've got another, I mean, this is essentially for Xbox, this is a third party game, right? Because, you know, Sony San Diego is a Sony first party studio, but the game's being published over on Microsoft's side. So here's another third party game launching in Xbox Game Pass, two in a month. So, you know, if this is the direction that, that Microsoft is going with Game Pass and their deals, you know, people can say, oh, Game Pass is not profitable and all this stuff, which we talked about that on the show last week or the week before. I can't remember. Again, I reject anybody's notion that even if it's tough right now, certainly as they grow that subscription service, eventually they're going to cross a threshold where every bit after that is just, you know, increasing revenue return for them. But if Sony's going out and spending, you know, $10-15 million or whatever to secure, you know, exclusive release rights for Deathloop on their console, right? And Microsoft are doing something like where they're paying $5 million to have Outriders launch in Game Pass. Like, that just seems like, I love it. I think that's so much of a better way to go, because again, the press around the announcement of MLB The Show is just all like, what the fuck, huh, Sony? Like, this sucks for you. Like, this is great for Xbox. Like, it's all positive. There is none of that, like, how dare you, Xbox, for taking Tomb Raider from PlayStation?
Right.
So, I just, to me, that's so great. I love this new approach. I think that Microsoft have hit gold with this one.
Right. Kind of going off of that a little bit, who was the developer? Kojima. Did you hear that Microsoft's in talks to get his next game on Xbox?
Yeah, so I actually I had that up in the opening segment that we could potentially talk about that, and we kind of talked about a lot of other things for a while. But yeah, I did read that, and I mean, it's a rumor for now, right? But a lot of people are pointing to that whole fact that the, you know, the Kojima statue was on the shelf behind Phil Spencer at that you know, presentation he gave recently. So that would, if he did that too, I mean, it's, that's just like, I can already like hear the wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Yes. You know what's funny is, like, anytime I get news like this, like, I just go straight to the Sony separate it and just like see if I can find any salt. I just salt mine the whole time.
I love it. It makes me laugh so hard. You know, and you guys know I love PlayStation. You guys know that. Like, I love PlayStation. You know,
it's just funny when this shit happens.
So,
oh man.
But again, like, Microsoft making good moves, a strong Xbox, a competitive Xbox is going to make PlayStation better. It period. It just is. It's going to.
I guarantee you, like Sony right now is trying to figure out ways to like combat this, like to like answer all these like shit that Microsoft's doing right now. So I mean, maybe next year at E3 they'll reveal something.
Yeah,
we'll see.
What we're seeing right now is the gaming version of the WCW WWE Monday Night Wars. Eventually it'll be interesting
for sure. Yeah, we'll see what Sony has to answer. for all this.
Yeah, and usually Sony's answer is by way of games. So that'll be interesting. You know, we still haven't seen much more about Horizon, the new Horizon game. Mm-hmm. We got Ratchet and Clank coming out in a couple months. So again, like if their whole thing is answering with games and they're banking on that, if Microsoft can finally bring games, that'll bust this thing whole wide open. And that'll be really interesting. But again, you know, all these moves from Xbox are great and they are about games. They are, but they're about games like cheaper ways for you to come and play games and try games. Mm-hmm. It's not about your new IP and the new awesome shit you're bringing to the game space. Right. And that's, you know, I will always knock Xbox down a peg every time until they start bringing the fire with games.
I think that right now they're just laying down the foundation. Like, I think the games are coming.
Yeah. I just kind of wish it was a different exclusive other than baseball, but that's just
Well, I mean, if I think Microsoft saw like an opening and took it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, by the end of this month, by April 21st, if you're on Game Pass, you can play MLB The Show, NHL 21, Madden 21, FIFA 21, NBA 2K21. If you're a sports fan on Game Pass, mega, man. They got them all. They got them all.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, you gotta give them props for that. They're supporting sports players as well. So, really cool stuff. I think that's all I got on this topic. Should we move on to what was originally topic number two?
Let's go to number two.
All right. So, well, actually, real quick, before I go to number two, I did some Googling. I am partially correct on the Pokemon company. The Pokemon company is owned by three different entities in equal shares. One of those three entities is Nintendo. The other two are Game Freak and Creatures. But so the Pokemon company, the developer behind the Pokemon games, is not wholly owned by Nintendo. They're not even majority owned by Nintendo. But Nintendo do have a 1/3 stake in the company.
Okay.
So there's your clarification. All right. So our final topic of the show for tonight, ESA, the Electronic Software Association, has now officially announced an all-digital E3 event for this year taking place June 12th through 15th. There are a lot of big companies that have already been associated with this that will be present. Nintendo, Xbox, Capcom, Konami, Ubisoft, Take-Two, Warner Brothers, and Koch Media are all scheduled to participate in the event so far. Noticeably absent, of course, here is Sony. So Sony weren't at E3 last year. I don't think they were at E3 the year before. It seems like Sony are well and truly done with E3 as an event. They don't want to be a part of it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they have their own showcases and all that, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, so does Xbox, but Xbox still wants to be a part of E3. So same with Nintendo. So I don't know. That just kind of smacks to me. You know, like if you're confident in your games and you think that they're gonna hit, then why not showcase them next to Xbox? Why not say, oh, that's what you got? Well, I got better than you. You know, that used to be Sony's big trick at E3. But now they seem to not want to play that game anymore.
Yeah.
But we do at least have an official announcement of an E3 this year, which is great. There is some language in here on sort of the details of what the show will be. But what I did noticeably was that they are not going to be doing these game demos. And these game demos were what we were talking about last week. Mike, you weren't. On the show, but Adam and I were talking about this, and I'm curious what your take is. You know, we were kind of debating, you know, whether or not you would pay a premium pass, like a $30 pass or something, to get access to E3's premium content, if that included like game demos of games being showcased at the show. I'm interested in your thoughts now that that's not officially not happening, and they're not even going to have game demos. You know, would you have liked that option? Would you have felt like that was a fair thing to ask of consumers?
So, like, to pay $30 to watch somebody play a demo, or
to gain access to the game demos that would have been showcased at E3 for any of the games showcased at E3.
like virtually?
Yeah. So like, you know, you probably would have logged into a cloud server and played them on your PC or Xbox.
So it's $30 to do that.
So that was just kind of the number that was rumored thrown out there. But you know, obviously that's not happening. But I'm asking you, you know, would you have seen value in that?
No, like I'm not gonna, if it's just a demo, I'm not going to pay money for a demo. Like I can wait. It's fine. It's fine. I don't need to pay $30. Somebody else may like find value in that. Like maybe a develop, like a just a journalist or something. But even then, like I've watched a few influencers when they say they go to these shows and play the demos. Like it's like mainly, it's really janky. Like you're in a rush to get them done because you're like, you have a certain amount of time. You really can't get the full experience of what you're playing. I mean, you kind of get the feel of it, but like it's just so fast and like everything's rushed, you're not really invested because you have so much other shit going on. So yeah, for me, I wouldn't have done it. I don't really think it'd be worth it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, so my argument was just that if there's no other way to get it, would it not be cool to have had the opportunity to pay? And my argument last week as well would have been that it would have been more than just game demos. There would have been more exclusive content associated with it. But it's essentially like if you would normally have paid like $100 for a week long pass to go to E3, if now instead of paying that to attend in person, you paid like $30 and got access to the demos and other exclusive content behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Obviously all the showcases and everything would have still been free. I just thought that would have been interesting. You know, even if they're short demos, you know, 15, 20 minutes, I still think it'd be cool to be able to kind of experience that, you know, that opportunity, you know, because I'll never go to Los Angeles and attend the show in person. So I just thought it would have been really neat. But there was a statement here, I guess, from the ESA. It says, quote, "We explored many possibilities with our partners, sponsors, and industry participants in the creation of E3 2021. This year, we are focused on delivering multiple days of amazing programming that showcases the video game industry with a new online portal and supporting app that will include tons of features such as customizable profiles, on-demand content, gamification, real-time activity feeds, and more. We'll build off the success of 2021 and continue to look into new ways of showcasing the industry in 2022. So this is the response that they made when the Video Game Chronicle reached out to the ESA to ask if they would be incorporating any game demos into their E3 plans for this year. So sounds like that's a firm no. I don't really know what all of this app and gamification and on-demand content will really be. I'm not sold or hyped on that yet. I guess for me, as long as we get our typical showcases from Nintendo and Microsoft, I'll be happy.
Yeah, same. That's what mainly I watch anyway, is just the showcases.
What about you, Adam? You got anything you want to add on this?
No. I mean, I pretty much said what I said last week. That's how I feel.
What were the other, with the premium $30 premium, what would be the other things you would get?
I don't know. I mean, there was just rumors. I think
you get a wallpaper for your desktop.
Yeah, there you go. Right. It was rumors, and I was kind of spitballing last week. So some of the suggestions I made was, you know, what if there were sort of behind the scenes developer talks that typically happen at E3, if, you know, those were kind of added as part of that premium content. So maybe you got, I don't know, 20, 25 hours worth of game developer interviews and things like that on top of, you know, whatever it would be, 20, 30, 15 minute game demos or something like that. And you could kind of, you know, you bought your pass and maybe you had access to that content for the month of June or something like that to kind of peruse at your leisure. That would have been really neat, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be, but I still don't believe you should pay for it if it's all digital.
Yeah, I mean, that was the crux of your argument last week, and I kind of reject that just because I think that, you know, if you can create an experience for somebody, it shouldn't matter if it's digital or in person. There's some value to that experience, and so it's about whether or not you create an experience that's worth that value and what you put on it. So yeah. I can accept arguments that say, you know, well, what they created wasn't worth the price that they asked for. But I just in principle reject the notion that just because it's digital means it should be free.
Yeah. Well, it's like I said last week, like I was going based off of what the WWE is doing. So they're doing it for free. So that's why I say it.
Gotcha. It really just depends on what exactly it is. I'm sure they'd like give us the information if they were doing it. If it was just for demos, I probably wouldn't. But if there's like, it just really depends on the other features. Like if it's good content they're going to give me, then that's fine. I will pay $30 if it's worth that, in my opinion. But it's like, I can't see what they could give me digitally. You know what I mean? Like what experience can I get?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's just I just have to see what it is essentially. I mean, it's not going to be the case anyway, so it's a moot point anyway. But
right,
we'll see.
Right on, yeah, absolutely. But I guess final thoughts: are we excited for an E3 this year? Do we think that's the right thing? Do we think it'll be anything like E3s in the past? I mean, obviously, we had no E3 last year, so that's you know, to kind of go back and correct a thought I had earlier, obviously we had no E3 last year, so Sony wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And then the E3 before that, the last one that we actually had, Sony skipped that one. So the last E3 Sony was present at was 2018. Oh, wow. So they skipped 2019. 2020 itself altogether was canceled, and now we're back here for 2021. But yeah, I mean, do we think it'll be worth it? Are we excited for an E3?
I'm excited. I have a prediction about Microsoft's. I think that when they show up, when they do their showcase, the first thing they're going to see is you're going to see the Microsoft logo, and below it, like you saw Bethesda, we're going to see Sony.
Microsoft has just bought everyone.
Just bought Sony. Like, it's ours now.
And then Phil Spencer walks Jim Ryan out, asks for makes him, what's the whole samurai, samurai, honor suicide thing? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I think would be better is if like, they're just standing there next to each other and, Spencer just like body slams him through a table.
A body slam. It is WrestleMania week. So let's go for it.
No, I'm excited for all the showcases. We'll see what everybody has planned. And I hope there's like, I mean, sure there'll be new announcements. I'm just tired of hearing about the same shit over and over again. Like, give me something new.
Yeah, we're going
to
get
I'm looking Halo forward trailer. To something to be delayed again. Like, Halo. Give me something to be delayed.
Yeah, that's...
you're just going to get a Halo trailer. That's all you're going to get.
Well, I mean, we got to get a Halo Infinite trailer. Finally, that would be great. The term I was looking for is seppuku.
Oh, right.
Bless you.
Seppuku. Yeah. Which is the Japanese ritual suicide. When military leaders or whatever were dishonored in combat. Mm-hmm. Or what.
Oh, that's what that, the Hiroshima World War II dude did, didn't he?
I mean, it was pretty common all throughout. You know, World War II, Japanese leaders, and before that. So I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, but yeah, you know, just have Jim Ryan. Maybe that's a little too dark. maybe I'll go with this one. Dark. Instead, you know, like Sony showcase starts and Jim Ryan walks out to start it. And then just Phil Spencer in a Kool-Aid costume just busts through the fucking wall. It's like, shoo.
And then you hear the Halo theme in the background.
My show.
Yeah, PlayStation brought to you by Xbox.
Oh man.
Everything's on Game Pass now.
Everything.
Yeah. The monopoly has been completed.
Nintendo, we're coming after you.
You're next.
All right. Well, I in the background don't... you hear
our money. Oh no, no. Yeah, so I actually would not want to see this. You know, I like I said, I think good competition is what the industry needs. So a strong Sony and a strong Microsoft and a strong Nintendo, that's what the industry needs. I don't give a shit about PC. You guys, I don't care. Whatever. Can die for all I What? Sorry. Is that a little bit too dark?
You're playing on a PC, dude. You embrace it.
No, never.
Embrace it.
It's like it's a PC that does not need maintenance.
That's
essentially
right.
Is what you're playing on.
Yeah, a prepackaged PC. Yes, that's it. All right, anything else for this week before we kind of talk about upcoming Game Pass games and peace out for the week?
I've got nothing.
All right.
I'm good.
All right, so in the upcoming releases, nothing really new this week worth talking about, but we did get another delay for Deathloop. This game is now apparently going to come out September 14th, if it ever comes out this year. That is the Arkane developed game that will be exclusive to Sony consoles.
So what you're saying is Deathloop is on a delay loop.
That's right. Yeah, essentially. Very astute observation there.
We are in the age of delays.
That's right. Finally, Game Pass update. We got some new games coming to Game Pass today, April 8th. GTA 5, Zombie Army 4, which we talked about a little bit earlier in the show, Disneyland Adventures and Rush are coming to Game Pass on April 15th. NHL 21, Rain on Your Parade, and Pathway are coming. And then obviously April 20th, MLB The Show 21 coming to Game Pass. All right, that's all I got for this week, guys. Good show, I think.
That's it. Let's wrap it up, put a neat little bow on it.
Send it on its way. All right, thank you everyone for listening here to the 38th episode of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Remember, like, subscribe, review on your podcasting app of choice, and you can find us everywhere on at TriCast Gaming P1 now. DM us on Twitter or Facebook with your questions, comments, thoughts, and we'll be happy to read them on the show. We'll be back again next Friday with episode number 39. This Saturday was Saturday Night Live with the TriCast Gaming crew. We hope you all have a great weekend. Stay safe and game hard.